Today's episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising is brought to you by Adam Neve and Blue Apron. Inner Hoa Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hoa Uprising. Yes, ladies, this is the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black polyamorous feminist living in New York City, and my co-hoes of the day. We've got Sabla, who is really trying to make seven figures and pay off these student loans. What a bio. What the fuck is up, Sabla?
Yep, hello.
I've known this bitch for too long, honestly.
Oh my goodness.
Way too long. And then we've got M, a 24-year-old who's just trying to make it in a male-dominated world. Did you copy off of hers?
How did I copy off of hers?
Trina.
I'm sorry. It's okay. I'm so sorry.
How is it going, M?
It's going great. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yay. And M got here by emailing the Inner Hoa Uprising.
Yes.
And if you do that, you too can be here. But if you're good enough. If you're not, fuck you. This is season two of the Inner Hoa Uprising, the search for a new co-host. So if you listen to season one and you're just starting season two with this episode, Shanika is gone. But we have a new co- Why are you laughing?
Sorry.
And why did you put your head on the mic?
Because I'm new at this.
Well, you got to get better if you want to be the new co-ho. Oh, so every week we've got a new co-ho of the week. And you can, if you would like to be co-ho, you can write into ihupodcast@gmail.com. If you're a new listener, I'll tell you a little bit about the segments that we've got. We've got Bay of the Week, where we talk about attractive people. We got Ho of the Week, where we shout you guys out. Self-care tip of the week. Fuck That, which is our current event segment. Fuck It, which is our topic of the day. And today we're talking about being an international ho, right?
Yeah.
We got Fuck Me, where we talk about our sexual lives, and then we've got Fuck You, where we talk about your sexual lives. So, yes, if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoaUprising, and you can also use the hashtags PodIn and Tripod if you would like other people to see what you're listening to. So we're going to dive right into the show, but first we've got a message from our motherfucking sponsors. So, today's episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising is brought to you by Adam Neve.
Adam and Eve is the leading adult toys company in the USA.
The perfect sponsor for the Inner Hoa Uprising.
As you know, we here like to fucking play, so adult toys are the way.
Yes. Take all your horny energy you collect from this pod and then head over to adamneve.com to shop erotic toys.
They've got toys for men, women, gender non-conforming folks, queer folks, straight folks, everybody.
They've got strap-ons, lubes, vibes, lingerie, cock rings, pocket pussies, whips, restraints. You want it, they got it. So you can go to adamneve.com for a limited time only, and you'll get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift. That's for you, Angela.
Oh.
Because we know you like porn over there. All quiet. We know you like porn over there. Put your tongue back in your mouth. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. Go to adamandeve.com and use code HO at checkout. That's HOE at adamandeve.com. Use code HO at adamandeve.com. Ready to dive into the show?
Yes.
Let's start off with Bay of the Week. Who are you guys looking at this week? Who are you checking out this week? Who got a fatty? What is your phone doing? Is that you being wet? What the hell was that?
You know, perfect time. You know, after the ad.
Who's drenching your panties this week?
All right, so speaking of my bae of the week, I love Big Sean right now. His album, I Decided, is absolutely lit. My anthems are Moves and Bounce Back.
What do you like about, are you just like turned on by his music, or is he like bae? Because he's a small man.
Yeah,
and I know you like big niggas.
I do like big niggas, oh my God.
Okay. That's why he's like big, like his personality.
His personality is big.
And
but
that
his stature is not.
Size.
Yes.
His dick is probably big too.
Probably.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I base that on.
Yeah. I don't know either.
He just seems like a big dick kind of guy.
Yeah.
So you like big niggas like?
I do. Like muscular dudes.
Mm-hmm.
A little chunky, a little bit.
Over 6 foot?
Honestly, height doesn't really matter to me. I'm 5'2".
Okay.
Yeah.
No. I'm really short.
It could be 2 more inches than you.
Exactly.
Like, wow,
I'm not complaining.
Exactly. That's a giant.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha.
What was the hashtag? Big Guy Twitter?
Yes, Big Guy Twitter.
Oh, yes.
You would be great for Jose, the last co-ho.
Okay.
But
he was funny. Like cracking up.
He's funny.
Okay.
But he's cuffed up. So that's when their relationship ends.
All right. We check in.
All right, Em, who's your bae of the week?
My bae of the week is Nicole Kidman. Mm-hmm. I'm not like I mean, she's a beautiful woman, but I've been really getting into Big Little Lies. Have you guys seen it? Mm-mm. It's really good, but her character, she is in an abusive marriage, and like some of the scenes are like very, very dark, and I was like, that takes a lot to like really dive into that, and you know, I thought she's a really good actress. And I give her props for that. Yeah, that's some deep, that's dark stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's go into Ho of the Week. This is where I shout out the homies, the listeners, the fans of the Inner Ho Uprising podcast. So we got SoundCloud user Remy, who is the 2,000th subscriber on SoundCloud, of course. That's why they're SoundCloud user Remy. If you guys would like to listen to this podcast on SoundCloud, SoundCloud.com/InnerHoUprising, you can subscribe and get us to like 3,000 people, maybe 10,000 people, maybe. Yep. We've also got Rel from the Cure podcast, who he just really shouts out Black podcasts all the time. Like, he's just a good person for the culture, but he always does his little Inner Ho Uprising shout outs. And he also featured us in an article that he wrote about 8 Black podcasts who are changing the podcast game.
Yes.
So you can check that out. And then we've got Asha and Calvin, who paid a bitch this week, and they are helping pay Wong, who's very ill right now, and he needs your coins.
Yeah.
So help Wong. Sound like I diagnosed him with cancer. He has a stomach flu. Let's go into self-care tip of the week, and you ladies wrote in some self-care tips. Mm-hmm. Please let me know what they are.
All right, so I wrote, anything you find yourself going through, remember that things have a way of working out. I need to remember that, to be honest with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a general rule of thumb.
Okay, we'll get into that later.
Cool.
That's regarding your internet. But both of these ladies are in international relations, or have studied international relations.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm doing international hoes with them, or whatever the fuck this episode is called. What is this episode called? Yeah, oh, international, like, international hoes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And M?
My self-care tip of the week, always be direct with people and don't let anyone make you feel bad or as though you don't deserve what you want. This, I don't know, I've just like been really realizing you need to be very honest and forth with people when it comes to relationships, friendships, coworkers.
Closed mouths don't get fed, as they say.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, also it's nice to just be honest with people.
Be honest out there. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to other people.
Yep.
Finally, let's talk about pay a bitch, because a bitch needs to get fucking paid. So you can go to innerhouseuprising.com. You can click on either the merchandise tab and you can buy some cool merchandise, or you can click on the pay a bitch button, which is on every page, because a bitch needs to get paid, and donate some coins to the Inner Ho Uprising podcast. You can also see the co-host tab on the website, and you can see all of the people who have been featured on the season and their lovely faces. You guys ready to get into the actual show?
Yes.
Fuck that.
Angela started a little late. The thought juice is getting to her.
It is, and I'm not mad.
Okay. I'm going to call you Angela and Sabla.
Okay.
Because those are your two names.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I mix it up.
Okay. I'm Angela Sabla, by the way.
Full government.
Yeah.
You want to give a middle name?
I mean, no.
Okay. You want to give a social security?
No, I'm good.
Okay, I'm good. So we're starting off this week with
trigger warning for rape and sexual assault.
These are allegations that this individual traveled from Oklahoma to Africa with the intent to have sexual illicit sex with children.
So a missionary was recently sentenced to 40 years for sexually assaulting children in Kenya.
See, this made me angry. Coming from
I would hope
score,
so.
Yes.
I would
because, you know, with the things I've studied and the places I've been, I'm a Peace Corps volunteer, this makes our work harder, mm-hmm. you know, because they put their trust in us.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming from the States. They think, you know, we're going to help them with any disaster, or, you know, here comes this person. What's his name again?
Matthew Durham.
Yeah, here he comes, you mm-hmm. know, taking advantage of that trust.
What about you, Em?
I've never heard of like missionaries ever really contributing to a society besides mm-hmm. like putting their beliefs on the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's really sad. These people are very trusting of them. They're very
mm-hmm.
welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think they are going to really help them move forward.
Yeah.
And they are just, you know,
out here raping people,
basically.
Kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, out here raping
young
kids.
Babies.
Young babies. Yes.
Yes. So to get into some of the actual details of this case, this is regarding Matthew Durham, a 21-year-old Oklahoma missionary. Recently sentenced to 40 years in prison on 4 counts of illicit sexual conduct in foreign places. I think it's funny how that specification exists. Like, illicit sexual conduct in foreign places. not at home, Matthew. So in 2014, Matthew volunteered for, I think, the third time at Upendo's Children Home, which is an orphanage in Nairobi, Kenya. Starts off very weird. He volunteers to sleep in the overflow bunk instead of with off-premise host families. And he did it under the assertion that he was going to assist the children in being scarred for the rest of their life. Thank you, Matthew. So in the span of 33 days, he raped 3 girls ages 5, 9, and 15 and molested 1 boy age 12. Oh my God. A school taker began to notice odd behavior, including lingering glances and him lying beside the children on their beds at night. So he was eventually confronted by the leaders who held his passport. And I think his attorneys tried to use this as a thing like, oh, they held his passport, so he had to lie and make up something to get his passport back. But I mean, if I'm not a sexual abuser, I'm never going to admit to sexual assault. Exactly. I'm going to like call my embassy and get my fucking passport back. He also had text message in his phone to a friend telling his friend that he was possessed by a demon named Luke at night and Luke would always get what he wants. Very creepy, very disturbing, very disgusting. So this went to trial. The kids, 10 missionaries, and 30 people who worked at the school testified against him. Yeah. So I was reading a couple of articles and they were talking about like the aftermath of this. And one of the aftermaths was like foreign volunteers in Kenya are now living under the suspicion that people in the community will perceive them to be pedophiles amongst or perceive pedophiles to be amongst volunteers, especially
male
volunteers.
That's exactly the situation. They'll generalize all volunteers or anyone.
Has that been your experience?
Yes. Lots of generalization.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry do you feel like that happened to you?
Not as much as this one, because I am a female.
But, did you feel like male volunteers were perceived to be weirdos?
A little, yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so my reaction to that was kind of like, who the fuck cares? Not to like shit on your whole entire life, but
it's okay.
I don't know. I feel like if people are coming into your country and they're already from places that are the reason why your country is fucked up, like American missionaries are to certain countries in Africa, like I feel like it's okay to be super selective of who you are and like not be as trusting of these people as you can, because you don't really know what their intentions are. Okay. I mean, their intentions are literally to convert your religion, which can be with good intentions, or it can be with like, I'm looking at these people in this country as if they're savages, and whatever religion they adhere to, if at all, is shitty.
Yeah, that's really the two-ended side of it. It's either they're too trusting, or the people from the States come and say, I'm gonna fix everything because everything's wrong.
Yeah,
so you know, that's really the bad side of both of it.
You have a cool radio voice.
Why, thank you.
Really the bad side of it. I'm like, do you guys have you ever seen any, like, you both have seen missionaries, right?
I saw a couple.
Yeah. Okay. Have you seen any missionary or even volunteer abuse against people who are in the communities that you've worked in, or against the children specifically in the communities that you've worked in?
So for me, when I was in Namibia, a lot of us have seen and heard disturbing things. So
that's nice.
Yeah. It's just, there were missionaries, and, you know, there was this couple I saw at this backpackers lounge, and, you know, they were saying how they spread the word of God. They've been doing this for X amount of years, and, you know, I remember asking them, have you met any resistance? And they couldn't really answer the question.
Why couldn't they answer?
I don't know. I guess their idea is maybe we ignore the resistance.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yikes. They just couldn't answer it, you know?
Sounds like literal rape. That's so funny.
Like, I don't understand that. Like, are they just like,
they just couldn't answer the question, and I guess they're just focusing on those that have actually followed the word that they're saying.
Okay, and Namibia is, like, Christian, right?
Yes. Like, 99%
Christian,
so, you know.
So who are they converting? I don't...
That is a really good question.
Like, I don't... Yeah, why that's true. Are you a missionary?
I mean, it could be because they were in Namibia for vacation, but then also they were in other... They were in other countries trying to convert them with their missionary work. But, you know, they were telling us just stories of, you know, how their work is positively changing the communities they visit to.
How so? I guess you're
just very vague. Right. Yeah. It's just very vague. You know, we spread a word of God. with our Bibles.
Well, I mean, if you believe the word of God is then the it's only thing be that's helpful. Going to help yes. people, then yes. I get what you're saying.
But what about those that don't believe or are not sure?
But then also, simply, like, no shade, but simply believing in God and reading the word of God is not going to help a country that's been, like, exactly. ravaged by colonialism.
Yeah, yeah.
They need money.
Yep, they need actual things, yeah. yes.
If they're going through a famine, like, you praying to them isn't going to yeah. change much.
At least for the short term.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, with missionaries, I just feel like they feel as though they're needed somewhere where they're not. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's asking you to come here, mm-hmm. but you seem to think that you're needed.
And you're beneficial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is such shade.
But, like, in a place that's already Christian, like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, okay.
So many questions.
I don't... You're right.
They weren't answered okay. that short time I met them.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So, specifically, to bring it back to this story, not just missionaries, but do you see any, like... abuses going on?
Okay, so for me, I'm just gonna say my personal experience. So at my first school I was teaching at, I had one of the grade 10 learners, and mind you, Namibian children start school very late, so he was around 21 and in 10th grade.
He
mind
was
you,
full nigga.
Yep. And he was stalking me, you know, putting his number in my phone when I didn't know it. Deleted it on three separate occasions. He put it in on three separate occasions.
So you were actually facing the opposite. You were being abused or harassed by
yes
a local.
Yes.
And did you feel like there was any infrastructure in your organization or in your school that prevented this from happening?
What they did was move me from the site. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, bothered me because there were other kids I was worried about. Mm-hmm. I was teaching grade 5 and 6, and, you know, I made a relationship with them. It was difficult.
I feel like the man should have been removed.
That's
from the
what I wanted, but, you know.
Because he's 21.
Thanks to bureaucracy.
21.
Yes. Thanks to bureaucracy and, you know, the American government, they're not really going to touch the locals. Yeah. They're going to keep him where he's at, but then move what they can move. Mm-hmm. They can move what they can control, but that was me.
That's not good, because if he's harassing you, he could be harassing other people.
Exactly.
Okay. How about you, Aunt M? M. That's not her real name. I'm going to stumble on it sometimes.
What, have I seen, like, abuse?
Yeah.
Not really, because I wasn't really... The countries that I've been to is mostly vacation. I've been doing, like, the tourist parts. But, like, within my home country, I've noticed they have a different relationship.
And where is your home country?
Rwanda. Mm-hmm. They have a very different they feel a different way towards foreigners. Well, not foreigners, but white people specifically.
Okay. Oh my.
Yeah,
drag
no,
them.
No, no. I'm not trying to, but it's really true.
Yeah.
And they have a specific word for them. Mm. But they're not like you can't come in and kind of just like do whatever you want there. Mm-hmm. I've noticed. But also, it's very we've come a long way since the genocide, mm-hmm. so there's, like, a lot of law enforcement, like, everything's yeah. just, like, very safe. So, I've never seen abuse, but, okay. I mean, I'm sure
it exists.
Definitely out there.
Yeah. Yes.
So, after I read this story, I started to look into, because I feel like, I don't know, things don't exist in a bubble, right? So I thought that there would be, like, a long documented history of abuse by missionaries against kids in the countries that they're working in, because the power dynamics are already crazy, right? Like, these are, like, well-off people going to predominantly poor countries, mm-hmm. working with orphans, their children, these are adults, whatever. But I can only find one story of a missionary also abusing the kids. I forgot what the guy's name was. But,
not worth remembering.
Yeah, fuck that asshole. He's in jail.
Yeah.
But there is a long documented history of abuse in which missionaries themselves mm-hmm. abuse the children of missionaries. Not the locals, the children of missionaries. So, like, if you and your parents are doing mission work, you might totally be separated from your parents. So you mm-hmm. might be at one site mm-hmm. and living on this, like, kid's place, and your parents might be, like, traveling the mm-hmm. whole country. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the teachers of those kids and the dorm leaders would yeah. sexually assault the kids and physically abuse the kids. And then they would, like, say fucked up things, which is, like, the crazy dynamics of it. They would be like,
yeah.
oh, you know, don't distract your parents by telling them this or whatever. Or don't bring your parents out of this country by telling them about what happened to you, because your parents are doing God's work and this mm-hmm. is God's work. And we're trying to save the, what they call them? Like, the fucking damned to hell Africans and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, very
But do you think, odd. Like, they only focused on the missionary children?
I don't think so. Go on.
Because, like, just because, like, they are Westerners and they have, like, more of a voice than, you know, the local kids.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think that the people who were doing these abuses were only abusing Western kids mm-hmm. in Africa and other places where missionary work occurs. I think if you're a pedophile, you're fucking probably targeting all kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now, so the thing with this is that the kids weren't saying it at that time because they would be like, your parents are going to go to hell or the yeah. Africans are going to go to hell. But, you know, something like that lives on you for so long. So a lot of the kids started to come out mm-hmm. like in their 40s and stuff like that about the fact that they got abused in the 1970s and in the 1980s.
Yeah.
But it's like they have access to American media and American resources to let everybody know that. But a 40-year-old in, like, Kenya is not gonna, like, that's yeah. not gonna be a story.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, who knows, like, how widespread this is, but it's just, like, not documented.
Yeah.
So, shit sucks.
So sad.
I mean, in Namibia, there's something that's extremely popular, student-teacher relationships.
That sounds disturbing.
Yes. A lot of my volunteer friends, we'd call each other and exchange stories. And
stories.
The Afrikaans is coming out. We'd exchange.
You're back in America.
it's hard
speak
for me.
Speak English.
Exactly. It's hard for me to remember. So, you know, we'd exchange stories on, you know, what was going on in our schools. And, you know, we'd hear learners, which is what we call children mm-hmm. in Namibia, learners, and about getting pregnant, contracting HIV/AIDS from the teachers they sleep with.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's a lot of that happens. So in my school, the first one, again, that I taught at, mm-hmm. there was a teacher that was accused of sexually harassing two 10th grade female learners.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I knew, he was arrested and released, and then I heard he began working at another school in another part of Namibia.
The fuck was he released? Was he found, like, quote-unquote not guilty? Or
that information? Yeah, I have no idea. All I know is he was working in another school, no problem. No such thing as references. No mm-hmm. one called to ask, check up. He was just moved. He just moved to another place. That's it.
So what do you think, like, the issue is there?
The lack of care. Mm-hmm. It's now very common.
You know? Do you mean now very common? In Namibia specifically?
Yes, in Namibia. Because, you know, in the States, it's not flying. And if it is, the person who is, you know, the teacher that's, you know, harassing these children or having sex with them, their face will be plastered all over the news.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, that really isn't a concern for me as an opinion mm-hmm. In Namibia, because it's just a thing. It's a common thing. I'm guessing that's why that boy was stalking me. He just figured, there's a teacher. I like her. We're going to have a thing.
So if you feel like there's no understanding of sexual assault and consent.
That
and
boundaries.
Age.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I heard with, like, Southern Africa, they don't educate them on, like, just being safe with sex and stuff like that. That's why HIV and stuff is just so high.
They do. It's a lot.
They do.
I've been in, you know, different areas of the country, and they'd start off with HIV/AIDS teaching at grade 4.
Okay. I feel like that's where it should start, honestly.
I mean,
like, you should know that STDs exist yeah. when you understand that sex.
You know, they
thing.
Have pictures up telling these kids, this is how you can contract HIV/AIDS. You know, be careful.
What are the pictures?
The pictures are
this is AIDS dick.
Yeah, how do you explain that to, like, a 4-year-old?
Oh, okay.
4 years fourth, or fourth grade?
Fourth grade.
Okay.
You know, they had pictures up of a toothbrush.
Because
they, yes,
that's not how you
I'm honestly not even gonna lie. They had a picture of a toothbrush up, and they said how if you brush your teeth too hard and there gets blood on it, and you share it with somebody else, you can contract HIV/AIDS.
No, you can't.
I don't know. They had it.
Isn't that mucous membrane fluid touching mucous membrane fluid?
But I thought, like, when HIV, it hits, like, air. It, like,
there were some correct things. I'm not gonna shit on them totally, but they said, I guess, needles. They also said, you know, having sex, unprotected sex. So there was some truth to it.
I don't know.
But
I
saw the toothbrush.
I saw the toothbrush thing
and was, you know, scratching my head a little bit.
I've literally never seen that in other HIV awareness things.
Exactly.
So,
but yeah, that was they started really early. in Namibia. But yeah, student-teacher relationships, they're rampant in Namibia.
I don't like the fact that you're calling it that.
I don't know what else to call it. What do you want
me to call
it?
Teachers sexually assaulting their students.
That too, but one is shorter than the other.
So. Okay, well, yeah. Words mean things and words matter, so I'm going to call it what I'm going to call it.
Okay, you guys- it's your podcast.
Exactly. I can just kick you out. Okay. Get the fuck out. Ghanaian women are protesting the husband shortage, and they are saying, give us male prisoners to marry.
Lord,
tell us about that.
Think about that. I saw this on your mom's Facebook, Angela.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had to block her a little bit. She was doing too much, but
I don't understand. There's, like, a husband shortage?
Yep.
Like,
they're saying there's a male shortage, and they want to release the prisoners.
This is occurring in Asin Fosu. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, Asin Fosu.
So this is happening in the center region of Ghana. Mm-hmm. And women are calling for the president of Ghana, Nana
Akufo-Addo.
Thank you. No to release problem. Men from a prison or several prisons in the region. And their claim is that single women are being pressured into marriage by their families but are out of eligible bachelors to choose from.
Yep.
So either they're not living up to their family standards or they're forced to sleep with, because you got to get your rocks off somewhere, mm-hmm. they're forced to sleep with married men.
Damn.
Yeah.
They're forced to?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're definitely not forced to, but exactly. It's like, if you're into men and you don't want to, like, masturbate all the time, okay. Who else are you going to fuck?
Jesus Christ.
This is your fault.
You made me do this. I had to fuck your husband.
Damn it.
Release those prisoners from jail.
Or else I'll keep fucking more married men.
So what do you guys think?
My God.
I just, still, like, they want to marry convicts. I don't know. Like,
It's.
I need more detail. What type of prisoners?
So, yes. The stories surrounding this case are very minuscule. I don't know. I don't think they speak English in that region. I don't know like what the ethnicity is in that region. But like when I was trying to watch videos, they were speaking whatever that language is. Yeah. So I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Okay.
I was in Ghana for like a month. I didn't learn anything. But yeah. So my initial thing is like, if that many men are in prison for all of the women to be tight about the fact that there's no men, then there's like way too many men in prison. Yeah. So either it's like, something about this region makes everybody criminals, or they're probably putting men in jail for reasons that are like
minuscule.
Not good enough. So I feel like there's probably like a pattern going on or something like that, like a systemic thing, which is feeding people into jail. So I don't think the way to fix that is to be like, hey, president, just let these people out.
Right.
But I think the laws should probably be changed. So it's like,
over these cases.
Yeah. If it's a thing where it's like, men are like stealing because there's no jobs and they need food to eat, then let's fix the economy. But if it's like men are going to prison for like, I don't know, jaywalking or some shit like that, it's like, change the fucking laws.
My initial thoughts were, I had a few. Are the women going to ignore the fact that, you know, the men were put there for a reason? Are we going to discuss these reasons?
Like, well, it depends on which convict you choose. Like, if you're
Then my second thought was, will releasing these men increase the crime rate? They discussed this in the article a little bit, but not that much.
They did ask that.
Yeah. My third one was, will the women themselves be in danger if they are to rush into a marriage with, you know, convicts? Fourth one was, why don't they just go to another country or another region of Ghana?
So how easy is that?
It's fairly easy. I'm not familiar with
this. You just walk there.
I mean, I'm not familiar with this region because my parents, they're from the Volta region and, you know, Accra. But, you know, I don't think it's that hard to get from one place to the other. Cars exist in Africa, you know.
So. Ghana is a big place, though. Like,
it is.
Sometimes you're in a place where it's like, oh, this is on the border of Togo. But sometimes you're just dead in the middle of Ghana and you don't have enough money.
I just feel options are there.
Your parents are like, get married.
Oh, God. That's another thing. I mean, just getting married because to get your parents off your back, I don't think is advisable. I don't think it's...
So as a Ghanaian person, have you ever felt that cultural pressure?
Yes, Lord. It's starting already and I'm only 25. But luckily it's, you know, at the beginning stages, so...
Yeah. So by the time you're 30, it's going to be
They're going to be demanding. While
you're sleeping, we're just going to put a baster in your vagina.
Yes, where is the boyfriend?
Okay. You just got to be ready to tell them, like, fuck off.
Oh, my God. Leave
fuck off, Monty.
Pretty much.
Leave me the fuck alone. Something interesting that happened was the men who are not in jail, responded to this story, and they were like, women are actually approaching the men in the Asin-Fosu region all wrong. All they know how to do is spend our money and leave us. This is why they need prisoners to get married.
I can't.
But that sounds sus to me. Because, like, okay, if you're a convict, what type of money do you have? Like, all your shit has been taken away,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So what the fuck are they talking about?
No, I think he means, like... it's not because the men are in jail. It's because these women just don't know how to approach us.
That's oh, all the men who are not in
yeah,
jail.
Yeah, I think that's what I got out of it.
Okay, okay.
And then that he's like,
all but they why do, the downgrade, they, though?
Because they're men.
Oh. Yeah, they need men. Sometimes God. It's viewed that, you know, any man is an upgrade.
Yeah, and that's what I spoke about a little bit. This sounds like settling.
It does sound like settling. Not just because they're convicts, because I don't try to look at people who are in prison in, like, a stigmatized way, but yeah. Settling because it's just, like, I need to get married so bad, mm-hmm. So I just am going to pick the next available bachelor.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Wow. That's not a good situation. That's how you end up in fucked up relationships, yep. Honestly.
Just unhappy.
And sometimes abusive relationships.
Exactly.
Because you, like, put stuff aside. All right. Well, that's it for probably the worst fuck that ever. I'm sorry. I didn't choose good topics this week.
I think they're good.
The Kenyan story happened, like, a month ago, but I was just, like... abroad people and abroad story.
Exactly.
I was like, a Ghanaian on the show.
Hey,
a story from Ghana. Before we move on to fuck it, which is our topic of the day, we are going to read another advertisement because I am getting pizzade in the shizade. So this episode is also brought to you by Blue Apron.
Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country.
Yes, Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone.
Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs.
Also, it is dope as fuck. My first week's worth of Blue Apron is actually coming this week, and I'm super stoked. I got spicy pork and Korean rice cakes and Parmesan crusted chicken on the way. It's gonna be great. I'll probably do like one meal cooking at home with my family and then one meal where I cook with like Akeem or something like that. It's really just Akeem. Haha. No more polyamory. But yeah, we'll get a little like bay on bay sex cooking kitchen action going, which is one of the dope things I think about Blue Apron, because cooking together builds strong family bonds, and Blue Apron families are actually cook nearly three times as more than non-Blue Apron families. So if you would like to become a Blue Apron family or a couple or a situationship or whatever the hell it is that you're cooking with, you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/inner. Because it is feeding your inner self. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so do not wait. That's blueapron.com/inner. Blue Apron, a better way to cook and fuck at home.
Yes.
With your bae, yes. But like not your family. So if it is your family, it's like a better way to cook and spend time with your family. Mm-hmm. But you still got to say it in the sexy voice.
Okay.
Blue Apron, do it.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Wow.
Is that what you wanted?
I don't know why you're looking at me like that.
I am. I'm looking for approval. That's why.
Okay. Yes.
Fuck it.
Our topic of the day is international hoes. I got hoes.
Yes.
I got hoes.
Area code.
In every area. Area code. Area. Here I got hoes. Thanks, guys. You really.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know.
Leave you hanging. Yeah, I don't know it.
The hoes.
Sorry.
Damn, son. Nobody likes Ludacris up in here.
Sorry.
So what is this about, international hoes? So I figured we'd just talk about being a woman abroad, or being mm-hmm. a woman having experienced places abroad, a little bit about international relations since you guys both have backgrounds in that, mm-hmm. Things like misogyny abroad and how it breaks down, misogyny noir, how it breaks down, sexual attraction, mm-hmm. fuck boys abroad, all that good stuff.
Yes,
so both you guys are international relations, and that just like... happened by accident. I was like, go damn.
Yes.
Found two people who are in the exact same field. Mm. So tell us a little bit about your background before we like get into the good stuff.
Stuff. I studied international relations. I knew I wanted to get into that since I was like 16 when I first lived in Bogota, Colombia. One of my friends, her dad worked for the embassy, the U.S. embassy, and I was like, that's like amazing. That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always just been interested in that and history and global issues, all that stuff. So I studied that in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I wanted to go into human rights and be a human rights lawyer. Mm-hmm.
But now that I work at a law firm, I was like, you know, I don't like doing law.
Why not?
It's just like, it's just so tedious. Yeah, and it's complicated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather just be out there. I love traveling. I've been to Africa, South America, a little bit of Europe, but mm-hmm. not really for very long. What about you?
Cool. Sweet. Yeah, so I went to Hunter College, studied political science.
I also went there.
Yes, Hunter buddies.
Is that how you guys met?
No. Oh. I know her from high school.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So I went to Hunter College, studied poli-sci, political science, with
thank you.
Yes, in case, you know, some people didn't know poli-sci. With two minors in human rights and international relations. I'm really interested in, you know, governmental work involving development, especially in Africa, mm-hmm. you know, being a Ghanaian mm-hmm. woman.
Mm-hmm. Those are people from Ghana, not Guyana. People do get true. It confused.
They do.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. do. So, you know, I've always been interested in it. It took me a little while to figure it out. But once I did, I, you know, started getting the ball rolling. By,
I can't speak.
I can't speak at all. The movie has messed me up.
No.
Oh, my God. So, I started... You snorted.
Sam,
you snorted right. just now.
The ball rolling. Okay, sorry.
God. What was I going to say? I wanted to get the ball rolling. You're not just going to fuck me up on purpose. That's just what's going to happen. Now your friends won't like me. They're going to be like, who's this bitch that can't talk?
And then iTunes
are
reviews.
You on a podcast?
And
the iTunes
and I tell my star.
I exactly.
get the ball rolling.
Exactly. They're going to hate you and me.
Oh, that'll be great.
Oh, God. I hate it. Please don't come for me, you guys. Don't yeah. come for me, please.
They'll be in your mentions on Twitter.
They are. I put my social media everywhere.
My Sabla.
No.
Speak English. This is America.
No. No. I'm sensitive. No. Please.
Angry okay. niggas on that shit.
Oh, God. That's funny. I wanted to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. By serving in Peace Corps.
Yes.
So I thought that would be a good step.
Tell us what
up.
Peace Corps is for a little bit.
Peace Corps is an organization that you serve for 2 years and you know, either do teaching or youth and development, mm-hmm. health, and you integrate with the community you're placed in. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to know the locals, the food, the culture, the language.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. Trained for...
Except for you.
Oh, God.
No, but
we
actually...
We gotta spill some tea. Is that yeah. what's gonna happen?
You're the first person that's like, no, I hated it.
Peace Corps, don't come for me. You know, this is just my opinion, please. Mm-hmm, all right? Mm-hmm. But my year and a half, it's really 2 years, but, you know, some stuff went down. But has been extremely difficult, unfortunately. I have to see the good in it most of the time, but... Mm. You know, that's mainly, you know, what I'm interested in. It hasn't, you know, stopped me from wanting to work in development.
Okay, sweet. I am, just to give you about my background, even though you listen to this podcast every fucking
all
week.
All the time.
I am obviously not in international relations, but I am like a really big travel person.
Yeah.
And I like to go places and shit like that. And ultimately, I would like to parlay my whole media career into creating a like docu-series where I'm just traveling around the world fucking people. Mm-hmm. Like a porn docu-series. No, that's not what I want it to be about.
Sounds
but it would be it would be like a global type thing. So just for emphasis or just for background, I've been to Ghana, Brazil, Jamaica, Haiti, Nicaragua, and a couple other places, but I'm not going to link those. I'm not going to talk about those because they don't have anything to do with the points of discussion that we've got. So let's dive right in.
Hey.
Do fuck boys and fuck girls exist abroad in
yes.
your opinion?
Long everywhere.
Experience. Yes.
You can't get away. That. Yeah. That's sad. What have you guys' experiences been with fuck people abroad, if at all?
They're all the same. Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah. Especially men. Just I feel like men are just all the same.
Any specifics?
I can't
or are you just gonna
these
shit
niggas
on
anyway.
No, no, there is no hope for any of you.
They
no
all
matter,
dogs
no matter
out
where
here.
You're listening
literally,
and what point in time you're
dogs.
Listening, you will encounter a fuckboy.
I don't know. Like South Africa. I mean, I never. When I was there, I didn't like. Engage with any guy, but they were just very forward.
That, yep.
And I'm not used to that, especially here in the United States. I don't know if like maybe it's looked down upon to just like to an extent, you know. But like waiters would like hit on me constantly, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you're at your job,
exactly.
like your manager's over there, like that's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
hit on you like sly, like,
no, they'd be like, so what are you doing after this? Uh-huh. Want to meet up?
Yep.
Sheesh. Where are you staying?
Yep.
Sheesh.
Exactly.
You're saying yep over there.
Namibia. That's exactly the same way.
Okay.
I've been in a cab. Driver says, I love you.
What?
I don't know you.
Was that like immediately when you got in the
It
cab?
Was when I, no, it was when I got out. He planned it for when I was getting out.
And this I gave him the money.
Know,
finally. Yeah.
I gave him the money. Minutes. I opened the door. Thank you. I love you. I said, sir, okay. Thanks. Went by my merry way. No.
Damn. Because when I hear I love you, I'm just like, I love you too. Like, it's just like a gut reaction. You didn't accidentally
stop. No.
I mean, what?
No.
Would you like a bigger tip?
I don't know what you want from me. I don't love
but
you.
But I feel like that's African men in general, though. That's just how they say it, so, you know?
I feel like my experience... Oh, I've experienced fuck niggas abroad, according to my notes over here. I'm going to shit on your country for a little bit.
I don't want her to.
I'm going to shit on Ghana for a little bit.
Don't.
Niggas will try to fuck at all costs in Ghana. So I was in Ghana on a study abroad for just a month. Maybe even less than a month. I think it was like 3 weeks.
Okay.
It was crazy. Like, niggas will just try to fuck, like, no matter what. So I had two brothers who were just trying to, like, slang yang at me.
Damn.
And they were brothers. The fuck?
They're like, we share out here.
But I don't, I'm not sure if, like, one of them knew or neither of them knew, or they were just, like, a race to get to who first or whatever. So one nigga was acting like he was interested in my friend. Mm-hmm. And we were, like, at their place of their establishment one night, and he was saying goodbye to everyone. Mm. And he said bye to her, and then she got in the car, and then he said bye to me, and he was like, oh, can I give you a hug? And I was like, sure. Okay. Then he kissed me on my neck.
Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, the fuck, why did you touch me? And then his brother was also interested in me, and then he was like hitting me up and being like, oh, when can we hang out or whatever. And then the last day that we were there, like, he worked at a shop and he gave me all this free shit, all this free Ghana paraphernalia and stuff like that, which was cool.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, when I got back, they were like still hitting me up. And it's like,
can you stop?
I'm not gonna fuck you from America.
Exactly.
Vagina is not going to reach across
it's
the
not,
Atlantic Ocean
it's not physically
and
possible,
put itself
sir.
On your dick.
Mm-hmm.
In Brazil, somebody drugged one of my classmates, which is classic. That's past fuckboy behavior.
That's yeah.
That's rapey behavior.
It is.
Rapist.
It's funny because rapist and racist, just one letter difference.
Yep.
In Jamaica, in Negril specifically, niggas will try to fuck you raw.
Oh my God.
Jesus. Yeah, but that happens here too, and that's why it's like fuckboy is an international problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then also another thing that I used to see over there in Negril is like sex tourism. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
Like people would like come from here to there
just
try
to
like
So I don't know how it breaks down in Negril, Jamaica specifically. Like, I don't know if people are going there with the intention of having sex with hot Jamaican men, or they just kind of find it there. But a lot of like older women and older white women specifically from here and from Europe will go over there and find themselves in quote unquote relationships. And it is a relationship. I just don't necessarily see it as a romantic relationship with very young Jamaican men.
Wow.
And like they'll
cougars basically.
Yeah, they'll financially sustain them and the niggas will dig them down.
I mean, that's, damn. Sounds like a good, you know.
I do feel like when people are in quote unquote foreign places, like places where they're not from, their inhibitions are a bit lowered and they're like, oh, it's time to get freaky over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they view the people, like the locals from the place that they're not at, as like exotic or like super sexy or like savages, and they're just down to do anything, and that's disturbing. Like, I know that sometimes like white men go over to like Jamaica and places like that and like take advantage of like younger black girls and stuff because they're like, oh, this is like a super sexy black woman over
there.
Yeah,
fetishizing.
So, yeah, exactly, fetishizing.
Yeah.
Okay, switching gears to the good old misogyny, the funnest topic ever. Misogyny and misogynoir. So have you guys seen that it exists abroad? I'm pretty sure it does because international feminism is a thing. But have you guys seen it existing abroad, and like how does it play out from what you've seen?
Yeah, for me, it's still a lot of stereotypes, you know, female stereotypes. Women go shopping a lot, or women just want this from men. You know, I got that a lot being in Namibia. Didn't really know how to fight it, you know, because...
You got that specifically onto you?
You know, just, you know, little bits and pieces of, you know, talk.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the sexual harassment, also another thing, too. But didn't really know how to fight it. Because when you're there, it's just, you don't really know how to portray your ideologies onto someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to insult them.
You were getting that from Namibians?
The locals, uh-huh. Yeah. So it was disappointing to see that. But once I did, I kept my distance from Namibian men.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely misogynistic. I was not feeling any one of them. It just wasn't going to happen.
So when you were accepted into Peace Corps and you knew you were going to Namibia, mm-hmm. were you like, yeah, I'm going to fuck all this Namibian dick? And then it was like, bam!
My thought process was finding a husband.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Uh-huh. But once I got there.
Finding a husband and then what? You were going to bring him over?
Yes. I was planning on it. Oh, yes. Damn. I was like, listen. It's
weren't
about
you scared
time.
That they might use you for like a that green was card? That
yeah, yeah that, could have been Estella's yes. got her groove back situation.
That
Kate Diggs
that,
is like,
that
no,
was
I'm actually
concern.
Gay and you bought
and
me my visa.
Thank you.
Thank
I'm
you.
In New York now.
Yeah, exactly. Did you experience any misogyny, specifically working as a teacher in these schools?
There was a Nigerian volunteer. He had little bits and pieces to say, but nothing too crazy. The Namibian locals too. I remember one of them. The teacher, I was watching a YouTube video and it was titled Why Black Women Are Single. He decided to say, because black women have a lot of attitude.
Wow, it's literally the same everywhere. That's crazy.
I gave him the stankiest of looks. I said, so what is your mother again? I don't know.
He was Namibian?
Yeah, he was Namibian.
There's only black women there.
Exactly.
Not all of them can have attitude.
He literally
that's not how fucking
fixed his mouth
statistics
to say,
work.
Mm-hmm, that.
But like, I just feel like at this point they just say things just to
hear themselves.
Speak. Yeah, and just to like upset us, and they just think they're funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
They think that we want to hear their opinion when we don't.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't ask. He came behind my computer asking me like.
That's annoying. I hate when people do that.
Some Nigerian guy said that to me. Well, no, he was like. He was like watching a YouTube video about like why black women are single. Uh-huh. He's like, "Cause they can't cook." But he was aiming at me because I cannot cook.
That's unfortunate.
Was, yeah,
that
doesn't anecdotal. Mean you generalize. Anecdotal.
No, but he also said he was always making little jabs at me though. He was like, "How can you be African and a feminist?" I was like, "How do they?"
I
correlate?
Don't even understand what that means.
How like
I don't understand what that means.
But he was trying to date me. And I was like,
wait, what?
Yes, Nigerian men
isn't
are another
weird?
Level.
Sometimes it's just shit. Like, niggas who are interested in you will be the niggas who, like, disrespect
yes.
you the most. And it's just like, so you really do hate
so
women.
You want me to like you? How?
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're confused when I cut them off. And I'm like, why?
You were an
I,
asshole to me. Right? Why would
that's
I like you?
Stupid.
Stop.
So what types of misogyny have you seen or experienced?
Even, false like, within my home country, like, people are like, you can't cook. How are you ever going to find a husband? Mm-hmm. Like,
how is it the same everywhere? I'm so confused.
Yeah. It's lots of that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much of it. Uh-huh. And just like, I don't know, just mostly that. That's my biggest thing because mm-hmm. I make it clear to everyone. I cannot cook. Yeah. Don't put me in the kitchen. I will ruin everyone's day. Mm. But yeah, pretty much like if we're like out and we see like, a local girl just like dressed a certain way and they're like, oh well, she's a whore and she's this and she's that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they try to like hit on her like yeah. like mm. they're all the
cognitive
same
cognitive dissonance.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're
wow,
all the
crazy.
Same.
Okay, so that's the virgin whore dichotomy.
Yeah,
check
exactly.
abroad as well.
Yep,
teaching people out here. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever experienced like you're in a different country like as an American mm-hmm. and people are like oh, American women are so this and that, like uplifting American women while shitting on the women in their actual country?
No.
Wow.
It's just overall it's, shitting.
I
oh,
feel like it's the opposite.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
When I was like
oh, really?
In Colombia, they assumed American girls were easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think in Namibia, they just think all women are easy.
And in Rwanda, I mean.
That's why they're raping people. That's why that nigga was stalking you.
Oh, God.
It's like, it's not stalking.
And
she
it was worse.
Me.
Yeah, it was worse because I'm black American.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I found in Rwanda, like the men there, they're not interested in American women, like Western women at all.
Huh.
I mean, that. Like,
what did they think?
A rare few, American yeah, women. But like, they're just kind of like, they're a mess. Like, yeah.
I mean,
but Rwanda's
I am
different,
a mess,
though.
But
yeah.
So what? So
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Well, I experienced in Negril once again. people would like prop up international women, like loud, like Americans and Europeans and stuff like that, and shit on the actual women in that community. Yeah. Like they're like dumb or whatever. And really? Yeah, dumb, ugly, not as cultured. So I don't know if that was like hatred because it's like, you know, if you have a mom and a sister, or just you being from this country, these are your people, so that doesn't really make any sense.
It doesn't.
But I don't know if they were doing that because the sex tourism thing is like in existence over there, so they're just like telling American women what they want to hear, like thinking that people need to be pitted against other people to feel better about themselves. In terms of Ghana, the sexism I actually experienced was from my professor, who wasn't a Ghanaian man, but he was a man from the Congo.
Oh, thank God he's not
and
Ghanaian.
Why did you which go Congo? Up like that? I don't remember which one.
Okay.
I don't remember which one. I'm sorry.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't know why I'm asking.
Why did you go, ugh, like that?
I mean, you know, it's the Congo. Oh, no. I feel like you just gotta know, like,
I mean, not everybody here is, like, into international relations, so speak about it, because some people are just like, there are two Congos? Some people are like, what's Congo? Is that
right?
A term?
Exactly. Right.
That's funny.
Okay. I don't know, I just feel like within the East African community, we like, everyone, I don't, let me make that clear. Everyone makes fun of people from the Congo, that they're just, like, barbaric.
And oh, my stuff. God.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Well, I mean,
West African, so
I mean, like, you, like, it's kind of like, you know, you probably know more about, let's say, like, I don't know, Togo,
Senegal. You don't know shit.
Why are you in this field?
That's, no, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna go home now.
No, I'm joking.
No. I know more about Western Africa than East.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam.
So, like, I know more about
anything, and I know more about my back. I'm a poser.
East side than the West.
Like,
you wouldn't have a reason to know about, like, it's Congo.
Wait, so Congo is, this is my ignorance, Congo's seen as East Africa and not Central Africa?
It is Central, but we're next.
It is right in the middle.
Yeah, we're next to them. So, like, you get what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, everyone just kind of, like,
well, I mean, there have been a lot of human rights issues over there.
Yes, and it's still very, like,
it's a hot spot.
Yes. And I don't know, like, there were, like, they say that they eat, like, anything. They eat, like, monkeys.
I have heard that, but I'm not going to adhere to those stereotypes.
Okay.
But I will tell you about
them. But that's the kind of jokes that they make about them, you know? Like, they're just, like, barbaric and stuff like that.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And so, when I hear that he was, like, a Congolese man, I'm just, like,
So, the thing is, he carried himself. And I feel like those stereotypes probably exist because, you know, like, Haitian stereotypes exist. Like, people shit on Haiti because people don't really know about Haiti and stuff like that. And it's, like, a country that's been ravaged by poverty and war and stuff like that. So, like, the things that do come out of there are a product of that. And people don't give
I mean,
that any recognition.
I've never heard Haitian jokes, but I mean.
Wow.
I know. Yeah,
well,
I don't know why.
Huh.
I just.
You're from Rwanda, right?
Yeah.
When did you come here?
99.
How old were you?
Six.
Wow. And you went to schools where?
Upstate New York.
That's why you didn't hear any Haitian jokes. There were no Haitian people there, like, to make fun of.
Funny. But, like, I've heard, like, Nigerian jokes.
Okay.
Like, but, like, I've never, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
if anything, I was born in Brooklyn, but I still got those jokes. African booty scratcher.
Yeah.
You know, they're still a thing.
The weird thing is that I feel like Haitian people also get African booty scratcher. I mean, that quite literally doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, kids are dumb.
Yeah, assholes.
Kids are ignorant and evil little shits.
Yep.
But so specifically about this professor, like, we were in the situation where the study abroad was actually conducted by a school upstate. So I feel like it was a lot of kids who didn't really know black people like that, or maybe just didn't give a shit about black people like that. So they went to Africa and they were like, oh my God, this is Africa and not Ghana, which is where we were, not like Accra. And like, they would see kids begging on the street, which is something that also happens in New York, but they would just be like, oh, throw bread at him and, like, fucked up shit like that.
Wow.
So being, like, the four or five woke black girls that we were, we'd be like, so y'all niggas are talking shit and this is bullshit and we're not gonna stand for it and you're stupid. And then the people who we were directing that towards were kind of just like, you're mean. But the professor was like, you're bitches. Like, he didn't call us bitches, but, like, in not so many words, he was, like, shitting on us.
Wow.
On you because you care about the kids?
And,
like,
you're,
I don't
defending,
kinda,
you know, Ghana, basically.
Yeah, it was that. And then also, people wanted to do things like go to an orphanage and hold an African baby and take a picture with the African baby. Yeah. And we wanted to volunteer and help and learn about the country and go out and party and talk to people and eat food, like a whole fucking comprehensive experience.
Yeah. Integration.
And, like,
yeah.
When we would try to like go out and do other things, they would be like, why aren't you spending time with us? Bitch, because you're from fucking Brockport. And I'm in Ghana, and I want to talk to Ghanaians and learn about them and stuff like that. So, I don't know, it was weird. And then it all culminated in this one fucking day where we had this group discussion about what microaggressions are. And if you don't know, that's like little coded things that you can say to people that are actually negative towards their gender or their race and something like that, but you see it as something that's positive or not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So the whole entire trip, we were experiencing all of these microaggressions, either directed exactly at us, like while we were dancing, like, wow, such a big butt, or directed at the kids, like, oh, there's this dog, I'm gonna feed this dog, but I'm going to like snarl at this kid who's asking for change. These are all things that have happened. Never do a study abroad in Ghana. It's terrible.
Like, that sounds like horrible.
Yeah,
it was really bad. Like, actually experiencing the country itself was one of the best times of my life, but dealing with these people was literally one of the worst times of my life.
But then I'm
top
like,
six,
like, worst. Why even go?
Yep.
Because it's exotic and it's Africa, and I want to do something different. And I want to, like, after the trip, everybody made their profile pictures the picture with the African baby.
Yeah.
Like, how fucking stereotypical and cliche can you be?
Typical white savior behavior.
Exactly. So, speak on what a white savior is for the audience listeners.
Okay, just, you know, those white volunteers or people who feel the need that they are coming to a third world country to just help everyone because they need your help.
Meanwhile, not having any background on the fact that it is your descendants who fucked up this country in the first place. Because Ghana was an English colony. So people in America, English colony, make the correlation. The fuck. But this whole trip culminated in us having like this group discussion about microaggressions and shit like that. And oh my god, it was so stupid. It was like so many white tears and like, I didn't know I was doing that and stuff like that. And people were like crying and everything was coming
crying.
Out. It was so annoying. It was just so annoying. And then we all like walked out of the room that this happened in, and the one black guy on the trip, in addition to the professor, and he was very like buddied up with the professor, goes to all the girls and says, I'm sorry guys, not all black people are that stupid or that sensitive. And I'm just like, nigga, what the fuck? Like, how are we ever gonna get anywhere, man?
Exactly.
Like, this was a teachable moment. Like, you it couldn't was. See the shit that was going on.
Just making them feel better for what?
I don't know, but
Feel like black women, like,
it was just a way to kick us under.
Yeah, exactly.
He also spent the entire trip like showing people his white girlfriend back at home when people didn't ask to see her.
No,
like,
one cares,
nigga, we don't fucking care.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so
over it.
And then specifically in regards to like misogynoir, I feel like in Brazil, I went to this island for like a trip. Off the coast of Brazil, it's called Mojos de São Paulo, and it was either Brazilian women or women who were vacationing in this island in Brazil from like Argentina and Chile, because they had a lot of tourists from there. Like, they just wouldn't, you know how like you're at a party and women are kind of just vibing together, it's like, yes, bitch. They were very standoffish. And then like there would be times where we were at parties and like on a stage or something like that, and white women, like white Latin American women, were like, walk in front of me and then dance, like, you can't be seen, or like push me out of the way and then dance or something like that, like, you as a black woman can't exist
just
in this space
thing.
Yeah, it was really weird.
So like, they weren't Brazilian themselves.
They might have been Brazilian, but they were also like, I wasn't asking like, who's this, who's that, so, you know, there's like white Brazilian, white Argentinians, white Chileans, but I know that a lot of Argentinians and Chileans also went to this island to vacation, so it could have been anybody from that population, but they just didn't really like me that much. So one time I had to hit somebody with my ass while I was dancing,
because
they kept bumping up against me, and I was like, this is bullshit,
good
you
idea.
Can't do this, thank you.
Or was it like maybe like a jealousy thing? Were you getting a lot of attention from the men?
Brazil was kind of weird. I mean, sometimes, like, I feel like amongst black men, yes. Amongst like the mixed mestizo type men, half and half. Amongst the white men, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was a jealousy thing or like a, you're an ugly black bitch thing. I don't know. Mm. So in regards to like maybe jealousy and like how people perceive you abroad, mm-hmm. do you guys think that black women are perceived romantically and sexually in places other than America?
Oh my God. So Namibia. Oh my God. Namibia, you know, there is the fetishizing of, you know, Americans already. But
black Americans or all Americans?
I think all of them. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they watch the movies and they know Nicki Minaj, they know Jay-Z, they love everything. Especially New York culture, man, they love it.
Culture is like global culture, honestly. Yeah.
They call Vintook a small New York, and they told me this, and I was like, you wish. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't really. In what ways? Do they be wearing fitteds?
No.
In Tim's?
No.
Then it's not a small
New York. Exactly.
Do they say dead ass?
They don't say dead ass.
Facts?
No.
Do they say B?
Nah.
It's not.
Nah, son. No. Nah. But, you know, for me, I did feel a little bit more attractive there because they love plus size women.
Mm-hmm. That is the one plus size about like Africa. Like, they just like really like big women.
Yep, they like thick women. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I wasn't attracted to the majority of them. So
why? Because they was fuckboys?
Yes, what? Overall, fuckboys. Everyone, fuckboys.
Were any of them like attractive though?
Damn,
that's a no.
Okay, disclaimer, I'm not trying to shit on all Namibian
men. I know,
in terms
but
of attractiveness. Were they just not your type, or did they like have no faces? Like, what the fuck was
going
on?
I mean, it was just
first of all,
the type thing is
whatchamacallit. Attractiveness is like subjective.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So, like, if you grow up and you're just like, mm-hmm. everyone who looks like this is hot, and everyone who looks like this is not, mm-hmm. then.
So my type definitely was not there. We already established that I like big dudes.
Big nigga season.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mainly the dudes there are very skinny. Mm-hmm. My feet are bigger than theirs. I know that has nothing to do with anything, but I just didn't find it attractive.
Interesting observation, though.
Yeah, but I, you know, one of the male teachers told me his shoe size. And I'm like, I'm a 9. How are you like a 7?
In men?
In men.
That might be, in men, I'm a size 6.
Okay.
And in women, I'm a size 8.
Okay. The thing is, it just creeped me the fuck out.
No, but I'm saying, like, I don't think it's the same scale.
Either way, you know.
You just hate these men.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Being there for a year and a half.
I don't see any reason.
Nah, I'm not. I'm really not.
They have little feet. Fuck them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, you know, being there was interesting, you know, watching how they behave, how they treat women. You know, walking down the street. Didn't mention this before, but I just, my butt would just randomly get touched by a random man. Mm. You know, I remember I was going to the store, minding my own merry black business. Mm-hmm. And some people were speaking Afrikaans behind me, and I'm not fluent in the language yet. So, you know, I'm just ignoring it. And he pulls me by my shirt. Ugh. I gave him the look, and I couldn't do anything because as a volunteer, if you fight somebody, you're fired.
Even if they touch you first?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
It's not. But, you know, I just gave him a look and went about my way because I couldn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. I know if I told Peace Corps, they'd probably ship me off. Mm-hmm. I probably would have been home earlier than I am now.
Damn.
So I had to keep that to myself. Had to complain about it a little bit to family and friends.
Yeah.
Then I had to move on.
That sucks.
And then, you know, I saw the same thing literally after
and
somebody.
If you told Peace Corps, they would have just sent you home.
They would have, you know, the thing with Peace Corps is that they like to overreact.
Oh, okay. So if they feel like their people are in danger, they're
I was
get out of there.
Exactly. I was treated like a liability.
So maybe don't send people to a country where, you know, widespread sexual
but
assault.
But I get it also. Like, but if something happened to you, mm-hmm.
they'd be responsible.
Yes.
Yes.
And it would be all over the, like, they would be like, the Peace Corps did not do anything.
Yes.
And
then
they would look bad. And
but at the same
maybe
time,
maybe they shouldn't send you there in the first
exactly.
place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, there has to be a lot of openness, and what Peace Corps Namibia did was not that. We found things out on ourselves.
Things like what?
So this is very dark again, but in the northern part of the country, far, far north, there was a volunteer that got, I think, gang raped. Mm. And
yeah, I didn't know you were gonna take it that
dark. Yeah,
right?
I said dark, and I think the trial was held, but the people that were accused were let go. And Peace Corps did not tell us. We had to usually find out through the rumor mill.
Of course they're not going to tell you because they don't want to look bad.
Yeah.
But also don't send people to that place.
Yes.
But
and I think they did. They did send volunteers. Because that makes
them look even worse in the end.
But it's kind of, I'm not surprised that they didn't tell you.
I'm like, not surprised either.
Yeah, the thing is, right, it's just, I feel like I've been utterly deceived, you know, because I came there with these expectations and these hopes. Meanwhile, none of them are happening. Like, it doesn't exist. This happiness that I've created, this happiness I've created in my head, is false.
It's real, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they sent volunteers there after that. There have been many instances where, you know, a female volunteer is just going in a cab, going to, you know, her destination. And, you know, the taxi driver will try and do something. Yeah. So just a lot of that.
Why do you think it's in such a, or do you think it's in a higher frequency than sexual assault and, like, not knowing boundaries happens here?
I think, you know, like we mentioned before, the lack of boundaries, you know, there's no, this is my space, this is yours. I feel like misogyny is really rampant there. Mm-hmm. So that's where they feel like, oh, this woman is just a thing. I can do whatever I want with her. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no concern for how she feels or if she wants it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, to make it a little lighter, I was speaking to a couple of Namibian males, and they showed their fuckboyery very fast. You know, I would
not bring you home.
I would give them, you know, their number, my number, and, you know, we talk or text, and next thing I know, they're asking me, when are we going to do the adult thing?
Wait, I'm sorry. Is that an exact quote?
Yes, exact
the
quote.
The adult thing. Ooh, yeah. Yes. when are we going to do the adult thing?
Yep. Mind you, I've known this person only 48 hours.
Wow. Okay.
Another person was like, if I pick you up, because I was in the Capitol at that time, if I pick you up, you had a car, obviously. And if I pick That's you up, lit. can I get a kiss?
Ew.
Yeah. No.
Pick you up from where? Like, did you need to go somewhere and he offered
you
a ride?
This was before I was coming home. Yeah. So I wanted to, you know, have lunch with him.
Oh.
He's bargaining his ride for a kiss. No.
Yeah.
I'd pay you money because you actually drove me someplace, but I don't know you like that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the thing is, that's them, again, fetishizing Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the movies and thinking all Americans are loose. Fast. Yes, and fast. And we want it. No, yeah. I don't.
Okay. Yeah. Unless I do.
Yeah.
How about you, Em? Any how do you think Black women are perceived romantically and sexually abroad from your experience?
Just that they're over fetishized.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere?
Yeah. Well, besides like Africa. In Africa they're just like, unless you're a Black American woman.
Mm. Okay, what's the difference?
I feel like I feel like they look down on you there.
Because you can't cook.
No.
Okay. Damn it, Sam. Damn it.
These nigger women. Just,
damn it, Sam.
That was just shots. A Nigerian.
Shot, Sam.
You know what pissed me off the most?
You need water,
with,
girl.
With Blue Apron, you can cook for the low price of free if you use the code ENTER. Okay.
Continue. You know what pissed me off the most, though? I was really trying.
Damn. That's when it really sucks. Right? When you put your all into it, it's like, what is this?
No, not really trying. Did you season but, like, this? I was like... he's not really my type. He's not that cute, but maybe I can learn to like him. Oh. And then
he said that.
Yeah, and I was like, wow.
Wait, no, never
you
mind.
Niggas are the same.
Exactly. I'm so sorry.
But you know that I look back at it. Anyway. But no, I got the sense. Well, not me personally, because I am an African. I have seen that they perceive Black American women as like loud and just like annoying.
Yeah, the attitude thing is back to that.
That's where I feel, and this is interesting talking to you guys as like literal African Americans, not African American in my sense, but people who both have African heritage and American, like you're rooted in America. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like people from Africa and people from the Black Caribbean and Black West Indies view Black people from America like shit. And it's like, you're definitely adhering to the stereotypes that were set forth by white Americans.
Yep.
Why are you buying into that? Exactly. One, two, you know, like, okay, a lot of Black American people are in jail, but that's not because they're like a gang of raping ass niggers. It's because of like the systemic issues or the systemic things that have been placed upon us.
Exactly.
So like, what do you guys, have you experienced that like with your families and stuff?
Yes. Or have you?
Like families here, or like, I don't understand.
Like people who are in your family, or people who you've talked to when you go back home and stuff.
For me, my family likes to just disassociate themselves
from Black Americans.
Yes, it's just like,
wow, I'm never eating fucking,
I mean, okra soup. My mom loves you though. My mom loves you though. But but you know, say for example, we're watching the news. All these Americans are crazy. You know, just
Americans or just Black Americans?
Mainly both sometimes. But you know,
so there's no like solidarity with.
Nah, bro.
Sucks. The Black Americans?
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh. You know, I've got that ever since I was little. Like, oh, your people are crazy. And I'm like, I'm your people too. I don't understand. But something that was interesting.
Your family was saying your people are crazy?
Yes.
You knew Black Americans?
No, because I was born in Brooklyn. And I'm the only one that was born in New York in my family.
You're not Ghanaian.
Exactly,
anymore.
You're
yes. Black American.
An interesting thing that happened to me in regards to that is being in Namibia and how I decided to, you know, say my heritage. I'm Ghanaian American. My parents are born here, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd get a lot of, you're not African then. You were born in New York. Do you know me? No, I don't think so. Yeah. So you're not going to tell me where
culture
I'm from.
Culture is a little bit more complex than that.
But they say that about me, too. I wasn't even born here. Like,
yeah, once you leave, honestly.
Yeah.
Or are gone for
like
a certain
period
of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that to my dad, too. He's been here almost 30 years. They don't call him a Ghanaian anymore.
It is Ghanaian as fuck.
It is! It is, though! Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
It's sad, yeah. But, yeah, back to...
That was always my biggest, issue growing up. I felt as though everyone always wanted you to, like, take a side.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't, like, African enough. You weren't
exactly
American
enough.
It was just, like, a whole ordeal.
Yeah, and where do I belong?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just trying to go to school like you.
Exactly. Were you made fun of in school? I was bullied.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was bullied so bad by this one girl specifically. I'll never forget that.
For being African?
Yeah, and just, like, my personality. Yeah. I don't speak... like they always said, like, you don't speak like a black person, your name's weird, like, why don't you eat collard greens?
So, like, you weren't black enough for them.
Yeah, I wasn't black enough.
Meanwhile, I'm from literal
exactly
Africa. I'm blacker than you.
Exactly.
They were so mean to me, and I was just like, damn, all right.
Yeah, for me they were like, oh, you African booty scratcher, you do the Africans do this, monkeys, lions, and bears.
Yeah,
oh my,
so creative.
Oh, really?
Love these jokes,
right? Your name's weird.
Exactly.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, one thing, and I'm so sorry that you guys went through this, but one thing I find interesting about, like, the whole African-American versus African debate is that people will kind of then take what they experienced as young people and being like, I was called an African booty scratcher, and now all of you want black solidarity and want to wear dashikis? Oh, you guys agree with that?
I'm like, where the fuck you come from,
right?
I'm wow, like, okay, wait. Speak on it.
Oh,
like, remember?
Have several seats. Yeah.
Yeah,
did you forget that, right? You didn't want to associate yourself with us?
Like, now you
niggas
have...
can't grow up though. But it's just kind of like,
no. Remember your ways. Remember them.
You can't act like they're supposed to be like that forever.
I mean, the fact that it happened. I mean, okay, I understand you can become woke. I get that. Fine. But I mean, it's annoying to watch.
It is totally. I mean, it's like. It's like people who, like, when I was, like, a budding feminist or whatever, the annoying shit that I was, seeing people say dumb shit about women. Like, I saw a lot of people being, like, a woman should, like, during the first Hillary Clinton run in 2008, being, like, a woman should never run for president. They're irrational beings. Turning into, Hillary 2017 or Hillary 2016.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, you're an annoying fuck. Like, I remember.
Yeah,
but still,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I feel like we should give people, like, room to
second,
grow and stuff like
chances.
That. And I'm so
okay.
sorry that that did happen to you guys. I was not calling people African booty scratchers.
See, like, when one you of go the good
from,
ones.
Like, when you go from 8 to 18 and 18 to 28, you learn. And, like, do you guys feel like people who used to do that are cut off from, like, wanting to go back to learn about their African heritage?
For me, it's just bullying is always bad. And that's
what
I got.
Oh,
it's always bad. Bullying
is always bad. Okay.
And I was really bullied.
No, I was really bullied.
Yeah.
They were so mean to me. But, you know, it is what it is. I look back on it, and I'm kind of like, you know, I think it was more,
I feel like that's...
Ignorance, really. It's ignorance.
That's trickled down internalized hatred. Because if we are literally... from Africa as people, and we're making fun of people who are more fresh from Africa, then like, ultimately we hate ourselves, like how black people as a whole shit on dark skinned people.
Yes. And at that
that's
age,
why
you
I'm
don't
like
know.
Trying to give people like
okay
a little bit of leeway.
Fine. But
like
at that
let
age,
people who are shitty be
yes
now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I get that you want to hate them forever.
No, I mean, I'm just still
salty about it.
Yeah, though. I am very salty about it, too.
Yeah. At that age, you don't know how to respond. You don't know how to defend yourself.
No,
yeah,
you don't. Exactly. You're just kind of like, I didn't do anything. Like,
exactly. What did I do for you to do this to me?
I mean, shout out to, like, first generation people from Africa here, because you guys put Africa on the map.
Yep.
Sorry to Rwanda and Ghana, but Nigerians specifically
put
They put Africa on
I'm not even gonna lie. They
with, like, Afrobeat and stuff like that, and different types of fashions. Music.
Oh my god.
Like, I don't think that now kids who are in school, I don't know a single kid, but I don't think the kids who are in school now are going to face the types of
backlash,
bullying that you guys face because you're here and so like upfront about your culture.
I feel like now it's like cool and like like, you know,
mainstream
have natural
now.
Hair. It's like nice now. And, you know, be in touch with your African roots.
But 2004, though, it wasn't cool.
It was not cool.
Back then, they didn't want me. Now,
no, exactly.
Me. Oh, my God. One of the girls, she, like, friend requested me on Facebook. I was like,
exactly.
I sound so petty, but I'm just like,
No, we don't
come
do that.
Full circle.
We don't do that.
People who bully you always come back and friend
they
request
really
you
do.
On Facebook.
And then I think about it. I'm like, you were clearly just... Now, if someone, like, brings up my heritage as, like, a bad thing, I feel bad for them more than anything. Because I'm like, you know, I get it. You know, America fucked up your life.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, they took away your culture. Like, like I get it. And so I can't hate them for that. But, well, you know, when you're a kid, you're just kind of like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. Yeah, you don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So all of this womany stuff brings up the question of feminism abroad. So do you guys have any experience like seeing international feminisms, and what ways do you think that was important in that particular country?
For me, it was up and down in Namibia. You know, I remember before I left, I saw that there was a women's walk in the it was for International Women's Day.
Like
so
this
up
year?
In the north. Yeah, yeah. So I was very happy. I was sort of upset I couldn't go because I was extremely far down south. But I was happy to see that, and, you know, the pictures of my volunteer friends participating in it. And, you know, it can go the complete opposite way where, you know, females don't have that camaraderie. You know, they aren't together as they should be. You know, even for me, it was so bad that I had to go to my male colleagues or the principals, the HODs, to get, you know, anything done. My principal at my first school completely was rude to me all of the time. Complete bitch to me.
Do you feel like that was because you were a woman or because you were black?
I think it could be a lot of things. I'm not even, I'm not even trying to sound cocky, but it could have been because I was a black American. You know, I had a lot of speculations because, of course, I'm not going to get the real reason from her.
Yeah.
But
I hate you because you're black.
Exactly. So I just feel as though I remember my dad or someone was telling me that it could be because you're a black American and they think that that is unfair, that they are also black and that they're here in Namibia. And I was like, but that ain't my fault. I don't understand. But
it's literally not.
Yeah. So a lot of that, it was more of the. The second part than the first.
So you feel like that principal was not treating black men the same way that she was treating you? Okay, so
yeah, she was much nicer to the Nigerian volunteer that was there. It was insane.
But was that because he was from Africa?
No, I think it's because he was a man.
Okay.
They treat, you know, men better.
Yeah. Internalized misogyny.
Yep.
How about that women's walk? What was that? Aside from the fact that it was for International Women's Day, what are the types of things that Namibian women or Namibian feminists advocate for?
To be honest, that was the only thing I saw in my almost 2 years there. It wasn't a lot.
Have you seen other even protests there or no?
No.
Okay. How about you, Em?
I do appreciate within my home country there. I saw a lot of feminism that way. A lot of women like working and stuff like that. And we have the highest percentage of women in parliament in the world.
Wow.
Yes. Go Rwanda. But yeah, but there still is a lot of misogyny.
Yeah.
Like, again, people are constantly asking me, why can't you cook? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that?
Oh my God.
Forget that you have a degree.
Exactly.
Why aren't you good in the kitchen? Okay.
Yeah. Another thing I got was a lot of backlash because I'm very type A. I know what I want.
Yeah.
And I made it apparent. So they called me demanding, bossy. But if a man did it, they would just say, you know, he's being man.
So do you guys feel like you didn't encounter the women who were on that feminist tip?
That
they don't exist?
I think I didn't encounter any. Mm-hmm. They probably are there. I just didn't get a chance to meet them.
Yeah. That's one of like my biggest regrets about all of the places that I've traveled to. I feel like I can never like connect on that sisterhood mm-hmm. level, because like, when, first of all, I don't like people, as you might know.
Yes.
Yes, it's just hard to like make friends with people because I don't know, I'm an asshole. But
antisocial would be a better word.
Yes, that is the word for it. Yeah. But like, I will be nice to people who approach me. Like, mm-hmm. if you ask to be on my podcast, I'll be like, yeah, sure. But I'm not going to, like, see you on the street and be like, hey, be on my podcast. But, yeah. So, I feel like when you're abroad, because, you know, straight men are dicks sometimes, mm-hmm. they'll approach you because they want to fuck you. Mm-hmm. And I can navigate that situation in which I don't fuck them, but mm-hmm. I can also, like, make friends with them and be like, okay, you are, like, my ambassador for this place. Like, you're going to show me around and stuff like that. But, mm-hmm. like, women are not going to approach me because they don't want to fuck me. Mm. And I've never encountered like lesbians abroad, although I know they exist. It just hasn't happened for me yet. Okay. So it's like, when I do go places and travel, I'm just like with guys.
Oh.
And I hate that. Yeah. And then sometimes when I'm in these places, the guys are the types of guys who are like, women here suck, and they won't like introduce me to women that they know. Yeah, so it's just like that sisterhood is like cut off and stuff like that. And then that, coupled with like sometimes language barriers in the certain places that I'm in, it just sucks.
Yeah.
But I did volunteer in Haiti, like 2 years ago, and I felt like that was like one of the prime examples of feminism that I saw, because I was volunteering in this place called City Soleil, which is extremely poor, and it was like ravaged by the earthquake. But like all of the women in the community, they'll like prop up the kids, and they'll like donate their time to like the children's schools and stuff like that, and they'll like cook for all the kids in the community and stuff. And I just thought that that was really dope and awesome and cool. And then in Ghana, all the women told me that my yansh was plenty, which means my butt is big.
Yeah. Oh. That nyash, that nyash is lit.
Exactly. Yes.
It is, though, for
thank
the fans
you.
That need to know it.
Thank
is.
You very much. Oh, and then in Haiti, I had this experience with a established fuckboy. I won't say how I was interacting with him, but he mm-hmm. was like an older fuckboy, mm-hmm. and he was sexually harassing one of my friends, okay. and sexually harassing another one of my friends in a different instance, but he was like OD stalking one of my friends.
Wow.
And I was just like dancing with this woman in a bar, and she was like, oh, you know this nigga, he's mm-hmm. this and that, and he's married and he has a girlfriend. She was just like giving us the lowdown on him, and I was like, this is exactly, she was giving us the lowdown. Uh-huh. I was like, this is sisterhood. She was like, bitch, do you know about this nigga?
Stay away.
Yeah. So that's what I've experienced.
Okay, that's good.
And then finally, what do you guys think about, as people who are at least interested in international relations?
Yes, yes, yes.
What do you think about the importance of women in international relations?
I mean, it's very important. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we would just be listening to a bunch of men argue that women just should stay in the kitchen not speak.
Yep.
Exactly. I feel like you guys, as just women in general, even though you have not experienced a lot of feminism abroad, mm-hmm. you know that that exists within you, mm-hmm. and you in that field would likely seek it out or understand when situations are wrong.
Yes, yes, yes.
So. Yeah, I'm glad that you guys are doing the damn thing.
Thank you. I just feel like today, like, all the horrible things going on around the world, it's led by men. Like, it's never, women are so important. We're mm-hmm. better leaders, everything.
Yeah.
And so.
Drag them.
Something I figured out is just women working on the ground and having a voice in IR is, or any other sectors, is critical. Inclusion and diversity are necessary, you know, when it comes to writing policies. So I think, you know, I think of my niece, Malala. Yes.
Oh,
yeah, Malala.
I was like, yes. Malia Obama?
No. but she is lit too.
Yes. Yes.
But I think of her and her, you know, political activism and, you know, her being the youngest woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm-hmm. You know, where would we be if it wasn't for people like her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good, because I feel like ultimately in places, a foreign person, no shade to like volunteers and people who do work abroad, mm-hmm. aren't going to be the people who change that country. But
anything,
you can inspire people mm-hmm. who are in that country to change their country. Like, you can give people the tools to enact action.
Yes.
That's ultimately what I would like about volunteers and people who work abroad, a not like that savior shit.
Yes, yeah, yes,
exactly.
Because you like need to know the place, like really exactly. know and mm-hmm. be from the place to change the place.
Yes, we at Peace Corps volunteers, we spend a lot of time training, mm-hmm. 3 months, learning the culture, you know, delving into what Namibians like, don't like.
Now, were you in tune to the fact that feminism is and should be different in every place, because what American women go through is not that, like, that's intersectional, international.
I made sure to ask them how their lives are as Namibian females, Namibian girls. So I'm not, you know, pushing my American ideologies on them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very inclusive, very fun.
Good job, friends.
Thank you.
Did great work over there.
Thank you.
Fuck me. This is the segment about our hosts' sex, romantic, and dating lives. And the running trend this week is that the running trend this season is that I don't talk about my life. Because I reserve that right as the head of this podcast.
You do.
So you guys tell me your shit.
Well, you know, being in Namibia, I already spoke about this, of how the men move extremely fast and are direct. So that's sort of...
Let's do the adult thing.
So I just completely... was turned off by it.
Okay.
Don't really have any sexy stories.
You have more written there, so go into it. Yeah.
I mean, it's mainly the same thing I mentioned already.
You talk about that white boy.
Ooh,
are you?
Hey, I thought he wasn't notable enough, girl.
No, that was for Bay of the Week.
Oh, okay.
You can talk about that, nigga.
All right. Oh, my God. If he listens to this, I'm going to kill you, Sam.
You can get married from this episode, honestly. One thing I learned about talking about the various niggas that I fucked with on this podcast is that people love listening to episodes about them.
Okay.
You can say the craziest shit. Like, oh, he wasn't hard enough, and they'll listen to the episode several times.
Oh, no. Okay.
All they just like hearing about themselves.
Yeah. Okay, well, there is this other volunteer that I have a very big crush on. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying his name. I'm not going to do that to myself.
Is he from New York?
No, he's from... That's already too much. It's already too much.
I'll believe it.
And he's still there?
Yeah, yeah. He's still there. When I told him I wasn't
coming home soon.
Ew.
Coming home to mama.
I told him I was leaving. He was very upset. He's always been supporting me. You know, I'd cry and, you know, something would happen and I'd call him and I might be crying.
A nigga who listens to you when you cry.
Yes. And he's not even a nigga, though.
I just mean nigga
as a man. Got it. Okay. Niggas. Yes. Yeah. That's good too. He looked around like engineer was like, what?
His name is Juan, goddammit. His name is not engineer.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry. It's my first time here.
It's okay.
God, Sam. Aggressive. So, yeah. He's a very nice boy. Mm-hmm. Always listening to my problems and giving me advice.
Aw. Have you smashed?
No.
Are you trying to smash?
Is that why it's a fuck me?
I'm trying to really do
both. I'm trying to get to the point.
I'm really trying to marry and then smash. So,
marry and then smash.
One or the other. Oh, you know, whatever happens first. You know?
Okay, well, you know, we hope you fuck him. If you become the coho, we'll find out.
Okay.
But if not, we don't care.
Okay. If we don't, then, you know, we act like he didn't exist or this episode didn't exist.
Exactly. Yep. How about you, Em?
I have so many fuck me's lately. It's just kind of like my life is a shit show.
Oh, no.
Let me think. So I had been talking to a guy and we went on like a date and stuff. And it was like going well, like it was fun. And it was just like normal to talk to him and just joke around and stuff. And then, have you guys seen the Dave Chappelle?
I saw the first one.
Yeah, yeah, I saw the first one too.
Yeah, yeah, I saw the first one as well.
No one made it to the second
one.
No.
I was like,
what's going on, Dave?
I was like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so we were just discussing it, and I just feel like men will just, you know, show their true colors eventually. That it's just
it always
like,
happens. Yeah, you're like, oh, you're a bigot. Oh, okay,
right.
Yep, yep.
And so we got on the topic of Bill Cosby.
Oh no.
Yeah. It was yes, here we go. And so
I love the Cosby show.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was kind of like, yeah, I didn't really appreciate how he was making light of the fact that this man like raped all these women.
Yeah.
And he pretty much, it was like, I thought he'd be like, yeah, totally makes sense.
Oh, well, I also hate rapists.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It turned into, well, I feel like
none of, like, not all of those women are telling the truth, and that some of them did interviews and
victim blaming.
Yes, he's like, some of them did interviews and wrote a book, so they were clearly just doing it for money. I was like, what? It turned like completely like left. Yeah, I was just like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. How did I get this far into talking to you that I completely skipped over the fact that you are this way?
Yep.
Yeah.
And but yeah, but I was just like, so the fact that they didn't let their trauma ruin their life, that, and they spoke about it so other women can like come forward, that makes them liars. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much, yeah, that's what he was saying. He's like, well, maybe the women that did it like behind closed doors and they settled, yeah, he probably raped them, but the other women, they probably did it for money.
And why is that your first point in regards to Bill Cosby raping people?
I don't know. I was just like, wow. I didn't even, like, at a certain point, you can't argue with them, like, about all these.
Bad. You will get yelled at.
And exactly.
It's and just so I just,
match, yelling match.
I just stopped and haven't spoken to him since.
Yeah, don't need
and
to.
And he knows you fucked up because he's like, hi.
No response.
Hey, is this because we disagreed on Dave Chappelle? Nothing. I'm just like,
Yeah. Do you find it hard to date while woke womaning? Because dating while woke is a lot different from dating while woke womaning. Like, yes. I don't know if you guys have seen or heard about the new Kendrick Lamar song / video. Okay. But he has, like, interesting beliefs on... It's not even interesting beliefs. He says one line where it's like, I would prefer you without makeup or something like that. Yeah, which... Yeah. Surface level, it's like, okay, you are talking about natural beauty of women, but you're also limiting the fact that there are standards imposed on women to look a certain way, and the woman that you chose in this video to be the natural beauty on women is, like, light-skinned, slanted eyes, looks good without makeup, as opposed to a woman who people think doesn't look good without makeup. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
little one-sided.
Woke manning is different from woke womaning.
Yeah.
Oh. Which is different from woke... gaying and woke transgendering. Like, there's levels to this woke shit, and you will, like, only truly be woke unless you are woke on all levels. All levels. So, like, what do you think about dating while woke womaning?
It's very difficult. I mean, because I'm just the type, like, I can't let it slide because it's always going to be in the back of my head. Like,
this is like an asshole.
We're sitting next to each other. I just break out. Just that would be me.
The nastiest of looks.
Right? Yeah. And I know myself. And then I'll be like, remember 6 months ago?
Right. Yeah. No, it's hard.
Yeah. And so.
And it's like not going to change unless you find that unicorn woke man or teach that woke man.
But it's sad that we just. It's the bare minimum that we expect, but we can't even get that. Like, maybe don't victim blame.
And,
but they don't see that.
And that's
just so sad.
Yeah, that's a rough place to start with someone. I would rather start with someone who's, like, on a Kendrick Lamar level than
But I'm glad that I caught it. And I was like, you know.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be married to that person who's like, well, Quaaludes are cool. And I think Bill Cosby's a great guy. Yeah.
And, but yeah, the Kendrick thing, I'm just like, you know what, whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't expect anything more or less from Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
So unless he, like, actually opens his ears and listens to the critique that he's getting, which I don't think he will, because I feel like a lot of artists don't really open their ears to critique. But what annoys me is their fucking fans who are just so obtuse on the shit. Like, there will be people who are like, I love Kendrick Lamar, dope visuals, great song. I just critique this specific part, and people are just like, you dare critique Kendrick Lamar? What the fuck? Like, I talked about J. Cole, me and Shanika talked about J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar in regards to, like, not fully grasping how it is to be woke in regards to women's issues months ago. It might have been, like, the 18th episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising. Somebody recently commented, like, you and your work, quote-unquote, the Inner Hoe Uprising, they call it the Inner Hoe Uprising, first of all, have no effect on the general populace, but you dare critique J. Cole, and I'm just like, the fuck, nigga? I can critique whoever the fuck I want to critique.
Exactly. Yeah.
What are you talking about in the first place? Second of all, just because someone is woke in one way doesn't mean they're not open to critique. Mm-hmm. I'm open to critique. I can be problematic. I can say fucked up shit. Everybody is.
Yeah.
Like, where are we going to get as a society if we're not critiquing people because they fit a bare minimum amount of wokeness?
Yep.
So.
I wasn't surprised either, but I, like, what upset me the most were, the fans that were like, you bitches need to put
stop wearing so much makeup. You know, like they just okay. Damn lie.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you're fucking posting right? the same dark skinned girl covered in oil over yeah. and over again, who has a full beat face, exactly. highlight, and everything.
Exactly. Talking about.
But goals. You love natural women. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So we're ready for fuck you.
Fuck you.
This is a segment about you guys at home's lives. So we're going to read some listener letters. If you have a hoe story, hoe tip, hoe tale, hoe complaint, you can send that to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Would anybody like to read this? If not, I can.
I wouldn't mind.
Go for it, you fucking African speaking ass. A blue blue the doo doo doo.
Stop all of it.
Danke schön, Frankenstein.
Where did? Oh my god.
Is that German?
You close though.
Isn't yeah, it a mix? Afrikaans, it's a mix,
yeah,
right?
Afrikaans has some German in it. So she ain't too far off, you know.
Like god damn it. <All right. laughs>
Oh my god. Okay.
Sorry.
I hope this goes. Please don't edit this
really
out.
Get into it.
Okay. So, hi Sam and current co-host. I'm a 23-year-old black woman currently working on my master's degree. It wasn't until a year ago that I had what I call my sexual awakening, which is when I started hooking up with people for the first time. While I have engaged in various sexual acts since then, I did not have intercourse for the first time until a couple weeks ago. That guy I hooked up with has not been eager to see me again as I would have hoped, so I can't help but wonder if the sex wasn't as good for him as it was for me. Basically, my question is, do you have any advice for how I can get better at sex/head/hooking up techniques in general? I assume this is something you need to practice to get better at, but I can't practice on people if I can't even get them to come back for a round two. Mm-hmm. Please help. I listen to Rihanna's Sex With Me on the reg and really want to be on her level of confidence and apparent skill. Thank you and good luck on your coho search. Love the show. By Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous. What do you guys think of that?
Girl, Anonymous. You know, I was a late bloomer too. Mm-hmm. And niggas will be niggas.
Niggas will be niggas.
Uh-huh. Like, I feel like you can't. That was just the best. It sucks that you lost your virginity. She said she lost her virginity then?
But yeah, this is her virginity. Yeah.
Wow. And it sucks that.
I like the way she phrased it.
Yeah.
Didn't have intercourse for the first time. Because fuck your virginity.
And then he dipped. But mm-hmm. I feel like guys will just stop speaking to you, like, even if it wasn't over. Like, you can't, like, predict these type of things. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, niggas will be niggas. Yeah. And
yeah, you can't base your self-worth in these fuckboys yeah. out here because yeah. you could have given them the best sex of your life, but they're just like,
okay,
but is there better sex?
Exactly.
And they'll just continuously like cast nets for mm-hmm, other women mm-hmm. and they'll just keep doing it because that's just like the lifestyle that they're willing to live.
Yeah.
So definitely don't put yourself down because of what happened here.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to mention that I didn't want her to blame herself for the mm-hmm. guy not responding to her after sex. Most guys do that. And, you know.
In fact, all guys.
Yes. They get their nut and they dip. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And I really don't want her to blame herself because of that.
Yeah.
But in terms of like tips for having sex, I feel like one of the best things and one of the most sexy things for one of the best things for you is to do what makes you happy and to enjoy yourself sexually. So that's like the way that you're going to have the best sex that you can have
yeah.
is if you're doing things that make you happy with your partner's consent. So don't like go out raping niggas or whatever, but like, mm-hmm. you know, do the things that feel good for you. But I also feel like when you're having sex with people, that's what's sexy to people, the mm-hmm. fact that you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
So if you are giving head and the dick's like smells good or whatever, it's not a funky ass dick or whatever, like enjoy sucking that dick
because mm-hmm.
it can be fun. Like finger yourself while you're sucking the dick or whatever. Smile, just have a good fucking time.
Yeah,
and that's like
yeah,
one
yeah.
of the best tips in regards to making sex good for both you and the other person.
Yeah. I definitely wanted her to make sure she listens to her partner and what they want also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, acts. Before, during, after sex, was
exactly
that good? What do you want? What do you like? You know, that definitely can lead to
and
a
you
round
can, two. You can like sexy that up, like, you
yes.
like that?
Yeah.
You like that, baby? Or whatever.
Yes.
I feel so uncomfortable
right?
when walking Greece. Yeah. It's like the beacon of Christianity. I'm just like, no, this is church. This is church. But yeah, no, ask him. don't have sex until you're warmed up, mm-hmm, because yeah, you should be warmed up for yourself, but also it's not going to feel good for the other person if it's like some dry sandpaper ass pussy.
Not at all.
And if you are like the type of person M's face.
Just thinking about that is horrible.
If you are the type of person who like doesn't get that wet, mm-hmm, I'm assuming you have a vagina, but if you're the type of person who doesn't get that wet, introduce lube into the situation. Introduce fun things into the situation.
Yep, flavored condoms.
Yeah. Feel and look your best self. So if you are fucking with that hairy ass pussy shit, rock your hairy ass pussy and know that. But if you don't feel your best self when you're like hairy or something like that, shave.
Wax.
If you want to like do your hair that day, mm-hmm, do that. Like be, smell your kind of your best self.
Yep.
Yeah.
And don't ever feel like you can't demand that your sexual partner pleases you in return.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That's another good thing. If the person sees that you like it, they will in turn like it because they're hot.
And I just feel like women in general, we're not supposed to enjoy sex.
That's whack. It's so funny because I feel like that's the patriarchal thing that people impose on us, but then you'll talk to guys and they're just like, well, she was just sitting there. Well, if you call me a hoe for fucking, then I'm just gonna be like, okay, I'm finishing. I'm waiting till you're done. But so get out there.
Make sure you get your own nuts.
Make sure that he or she is pleasing you.
Yeah, satisfying you the way you
are. Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Demand shit.
Yes.
All right, the show's over.
No.
Sorry. What the fuck? We can't stay forever. He has to go home.
Sam's so like, I gotta pay for this.
Yeah, what the fuck? Shout out your social medias.
All right, I am. I'm sad, but my social media is on IG. They call me Sabla.
Yes.
Sabblah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be in the notes.
Okay, cool. My other social media account, I do makeup. So if you thank you. For anything for prom, you know, look up my IG. Faces by Sabla. Same thing, Sabblah. Mm-hmm. You know, hit me up if you want anything done for prom. I'm available.
Yes. How about you, Em?
Hit me up on Twitter at Hail Mary. 3YS XO.
Mary!
Yes.
Okay, that's what the M stands for.
Obviously. Yes.
Sabla, I heard you got a website blog.
Oh, yes, yes. So if you want to see how my experience was in Peace Corps, I have a full website. Not everything is bad.
You should honestly read this. Everything is bad, but it's a full expansive.
Yes, you know, an adventure is what Peace Corps is. That's what they promise you, and that's what you'll get. Mm-hmm. So it's www. Sabla's blog. Everything is Sabla. Sablasblog.weebly.com. It'll be posted somewhere, so you can click on the link.
Yes, it'll be in the notes. That's my job to say that, not your job.
I mean, I'm starting to like this
not
gig. I'm starting to
like this gig.
She's trying to speak some sort of language. I don't know what's happening anymore.
I'm just immature. If you like to follow this podcast on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram, Inner Hoe Uprising on Facebook. You can go to Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter. If you would like to follow me personally and see the 5 selfies that I post a year, you can go to Slam Rid on Instagram or Slam Rid on Twitter, where I just talk about ancient niggas and that's about it. You can go to innerhoeuprising.com to donate, buy merchandise, or see the lovely co-hos that are on this episode and previous episodes. This is the search for a new co-ho, though, so if you would like to be a coho, you can do like M did and just hit up the fucking inbox. Mm-hmm. Inner Hoe Uprising. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's not what it is. IHU Podcast. IHU Podcast at gmail.com and tell me about like a topic that you want to talk about and tell me a little bit about yourself so I can make things happen and get you on the show. Please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher, 5 stars only. And now we're going to leave you off with a little something sexy.
I don't want what?
Wong?
Your name, yes, is Wong. I don't want you to judge me.
I talk shit every week.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
Okay, all right.
Still lets me into this place.
He's like, why would you think that?
He's not even listening.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, all right. All right, so my little something sexy is I'm single. Hit up my DMs.
Me too.
On IG. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, single club. Thick as fuck. Let's have a convo before you send those dick pics, so...
Don't send me dick pics. I will block you.
Especially surprise dick pics. Like, I didn't ask for this.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, that's always weird.
Stop.
Okay. Do you have anything sexy, Em? On the spot.
I don't like this. I don't like this on the spot shit. She does that a lot.
Sorry.
A lot.
See? Pressure. That's what she places on people.
I do.
I'm open Everybody to meeting new people, yes. You know?
Okay.
I don't, you know, you cute. Yep. Shit.
Okay, so the little something sexy this week is that DMs are open. Got
yes,
it, got
yes,
it. Okay.
Yes,
you cute.